true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to All the Answers podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. We are rolling out our first few episodes out of order. The reason for that is the coronavirus happened. Additionally, our sound quality like kind of sucks right now on some of these early episodes because, again, we were torn out of our studio because of the coronavirus. So sound will improve. Order will be normal. And until then, enjoy this wacky, out-of-order show that we hope you really like. I have things I want to tell you, but I feel like we should just start. We're recording, okay.
Hi, Katie.
Hey. So the thing I was going to say when I didn't know we were recording is that, first of all, it's 9 a.m., everybody. So I sound like I was just sleeping because about 3 minutes ago I was. You know, I've been chatting with some people who've been listening to us, and it's so nice and refreshing to hear what they're saying. One of the things I've heard a couple different times from people is they're just like getting a lot out of just you and I hanging and talking. They're just loving. Somebody said, I love being in the room with the two of you, just talking and getting real and connecting. It makes, I don't know, that. So that just made me feel really good, you know, to hear that.
I'm really glad to hear that, you know, because, you know, me and Mr. Apology, I'm always like, oh, I'm talking too much. I don't like, oh, that guy, shut up.
Yeah. Right, right, right. Yeah, no. So that, and then like, I had a couple people say like, wow, I didn't expect to like get a healing from this episode. And that's been nice to hear that people are like, oh, it's helped me sort of, I tend to sort of assume that with this kind of energy work that you have to be sort of like super sensitive and like it's a certain kind of person who wants it and a certain kind of person who can receive it. And I have my own judgments that put limitation on who can receive this. And like through listening to people, I'm getting to break through that of my stuff of just like, no, Katie, I think more people can receive the thing you're transmitting than you maybe want to acknowledge. Which has been very empowering and very like,
yeah,
not even empowering, just like humbling and like expanding of my mind, my mental sort of ideas about stuff.
And I wonder if some part of that is the person through which it is coming, which is this Katie, crazy, wacko, wonderful, grounded, base human person who doesn't have pretension. Like all those things are what keep it from just being for the spiritual people, you know?
I wonder. I don't know.
I mean, that's my takeaway. You don't have to think that.
I love that idea. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know. I don't know. I just have to trust that. What I do know is we have to put it out. We have to say the things. We have to do the transmissions. And then who hears it, who can receive it is not up to me. And it's just so nice to go to realize like, no, you're offering something that more people than you think can receive.
Yeah, I've been talking to a few people. I don't think I have as many direct responses as you do, but you know, even just in my little germ pod household here, you know, people have been listening to it and getting a lot out of it and feeling, you know, like one of my housemates like listened to both Corona and Corona with Lime, like hardcore. That's 3 hours worth of listening, like back to back, just powered through it and was, you know, got a lot out of it. Obviously wanted to keep listening because needed to hear the next one. So that's great.
Yeah, 100%. I wonder, this is maybe a random way to start, but what isn't really at the end of the day? I have been having more dreams lately that I A, remember, and B, they are of a particular quality. And I've been kind of attributing it to certain pieces of my own healing work I've been in the middle of lately. But I'm also starting to go, well, also the apocalypse is probably affecting your dreams, Katie. Like what is happening globally, I'm sure is having an impact. But what's fascinating to me is like remembering them more because I usually just don't remember my dreams. And I don't know, I was just curious, what's your dream life been like lately?
My dream life has been very active. And I'm not quite able to remember because there's a lot of chaos in them and it gets too jumbled. What immediately comes to mind is that I've been having a lot of what I would call cyclical dreams, where I get stuck in a thought in a dream or stuck in a thing in a repeated problem or a repeated rut. And that's what I wake up experiencing. I don't necessarily remember what it was, but I remember this feeling of, oh God, thank God I woke up because I was stuck in this thing. And they aren't trauma things like, ah, I got to get out because there's a monster. It's just like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, no, hit that button again. No, hit the button again. Nope, I got to hit the button again.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And that's what I can remember is that there's this stuck in a pattern.
I think I'd rather be chased by a monster.
Right.
Fuck. Because at least with a monster, you're like, I see the problem. If I run fast enough, I might escape this monster. But like with a real life problem, like repetitive thinking, who knows? You may live there now.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like I do live. I mean, it seems a little on the nose. Like what we're experiencing right now is we're experiencing this sort of stuck in a pattern thing. Wake up, cook a meal, cook a meal, cook three meals, literally make three meals a day like a lot of humans have for millions of years.
Isn't that interesting?
Then do a lot of dishes. Like it feels like, here we go again.
Dishes and dishes. I heard a guy once years ago, who was it? Like he was a high up exec in the movie industry. I want to say he was a director, might have been a producer, on a podcast talking about somebody, the person interviewing him was like, so what is the one thing you would tell young aspiring filmmakers above all other things about the industry and the bit? How would you help a young rise to the on the way through their journey of life? What is the one thing? This guy was so excited to hear this big famous guy's response. And the guy goes, well, I had no idea in adult life how much monotony there was. And he said, if you could get good at anything, it's get good at traffic and get good at dishes. I remember being I was actually on the 405 in LA going like, huh? And he was like, look, I thought as a young person, the way to escape pain and boredom forever would be to be in the movie industry. Like what could be more exciting and what could be more la la la? And I'm sure we all three here can relate to this notion of like, if I'm in entertainment, I'm having a ball all the time.
Nope. If I'm doing a show at TheaterWorks, most of that job is driving.
Right. And navigating your own emotional life, your internal landscape around driving and having to get up and face the driving and then after the drive and then, you know. And so anyway, I think of that guy a lot because before this, I already felt that way about life and I had like a lot more choice. You know, I've been saying to people like, how are you doing? And I'm like, well, I was self-employed and sitting at this computer a lot before the motherfucking shit hit the fan. And then I realize now how I very deftly sort of designed my life to be where it's like, I do a lot of alone time because I like that. And then as soon as I don't like it, I'm out. And I'm hanging with people and I'm doing what I want. Well, look at me being crafty and boxing myself into total solitude. Because now I don't, you know, my big like, okay, I've had enough of like sitting here, walk the dog, do the dishes, monotony, repetition. I'm going to Rayleigh's, everybody. I'm going to Rayleigh's.
Strap it on my mask.
And my mask.
With my ruler that pokes people if they get too close.
Oh man, that's funny. I should have a ruler.
Everyone should have a pole arm, like a pole axe, medieval armaments.
I have to say, I've really been enjoying on that point, all the memes that are about like, back up, bitch. Like the one Pooh, that's like.
Winnie the Pooh with back the fuck up, piglet.
That one's great.
I offended my aunt with that one.
Perfect.
She literally said, shame on you. Pooh would never say that.
Oh God, that's so something my mother would say. Like you're offended for a cartoon character, for a non-existent consciousness. The one I like too is like the devil whispered in my ear yesterday, you know, this is going to be a long haul or like you've got no hope left. And I turned to him and I said, 6 feet back, bitch.
Someone posted that hoop skirts should make a comeback.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but like huge ones. Let's go with gigantic hoop skirts. hamster bubbles. We should all just be running around in hamster bubbles. They should make human industrial consumer hamster bubbles.
Listen, we should make human consumer level hamster bubbles. Let's make that cash. When the market crashes fully, we will be kings with the hamster bubbles.
They'll have like a thing that you can pull things in or push things out, like a valve, but that like has, that is like soaked in Purell. So you like pull things through it and they like, they're okay when you pull it through the squishy valve.
That's good. I like it. That's good. Oh, someone was saying on a different podcast I listened to yesterday, because by the way, podcasts are my friends now.
Of course.
That's like, legitimately my family. There's the dog, the cat, and podcast.
My Favorite Murder ladies and you have a lot of lunches.
Well, it's Dax Shepard and Monica Padman, really. And this guy, Jesse. Dax is my imaginary boyfriend who, like, I have legitimate, like, pretend arguments with him. I'll be like, I can't with you. I need a minute. And then I hear him responding and being like, what? You're being really, huh? And I'm like, we fight. And then I'm like, I miss you. Can I put you back on? And he's like, hey, I don't care. I'm not the one who was cranky. And like, we go through a whole thing, me and Dax Shepard.
Oh my God. Really, Katie?
Oh, yeah.
You are locked in.
I'm so locked in. And I'm obsessed with his wife, too. I love Kristen Bell. And now I'm watching, I'll just like watch any interview with her on YouTube or anything with Kristen Bell, just because I want to feel a part of their family. It's not even I want to bone either of them. I just want to hang out. And they're like, I feel like I do hang out with them in my car every day. So I'm officially crazy.
Yeah. And I know you've watched anything where she's exposed to a sloth, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen all that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's magic and important. That's important work in this time of Corona.
I feel like the sloth stuff was like early days.
Right. That's before we like knew who they were and stuff.
Yeah. That was early days for me with the Shepherd family.
Like, yeah, I know the sloth thing. That's what we all have known.
Yeah. Like I blow you off. Like, yeah. Duh. Who doesn't know the sloth thing? Whatever. But anyway, Jesse on the spinoff podcast, Monica and Jess Love Boys, was saying condoms, that we should all invest in condoms.
Apparently there's going to be a shortage because the major manufacturer has shut down because they can't run because they're in China.
But also, that makes sense. And also, if you think about it, as soon as people can bone, they're going to Bone Town all day forever. And everybody's sick of their kids.
It's like, no more.
No more kids. Let's put that fucking rubber on. And I'm like, I don't think he's wrong. So I think we need to invest in human hamster bubbles and condoms.
Yeah.
Notice how they're both sheaths.
Sheaths. Just anything that sheaths people. Rubber gloves, those little finger cots that you cover when you have a cut on your finger. Little mini condoms.
Oh, man. That makes me think of doctors and nurses. Like, how fucking, I mean... It's been said, it's being said all the time. You know, I listen to NPR in the morning sometimes because I'm a little bit of a masochist and I like to hear all the things. And what I mean by that is just like, I used to listen to zero news, zero. I wouldn't do news ever. A lot of spiritual people are like, nah, I'm not poisoning my fucking brain with like weird propagandist, fear-based, la la la. Now I'm like, let's take a little bit in. Let's take a little bit, just a little bit. Yeah, just everybody on NPR is constantly like, I mean, rightfully, appropriately praising the doctors and nurses. Did you guys see the stuff of the like videos of people out the windows?
In New York, they applaud at like 6 p.m. every night. Yeah. Well, I have nothing but nurses in my family, up, down, sideways, every direction. So I've been getting a little bit of information. So my sister-in-law, she works in more like lactation. So she's not like in it yet. And we're not overwhelmed in the Bay, luckily. Like we managed to keep it from being insane yet. It's bad, but not fucking crazy yet, apparently, at least at the hospital she works at, which I will allow to remain nameless for whatever reason. So she can be anonymous. But her sister, I don't know what your sister-in-law's sister is to you, but sister-in-law, Allah, Allah.
I would be like the last person who would have the answer to that question. I have no idea.
I looked it up once. It doesn't really work. It's just like, yeah, that's your sister-in-law's sister is what people say.
I like your thing, sister-in-law, Allah, Allah, because it has Allah in it.
Right. It sounds like Katie channeling.
spiritual name.
It's a spiritual. She's my sister-in-law, Allah.
Allah, Allah,
Allah.
Yeah, and you have to sing it.
Anyway, she's going in like this week in hard, like to the trenches. She's going full hazmat. And because I have a box of 10 masks to donate. And she was like, yeah, get them to me and I'll get them to her. You know, left over from the fires. And I've just been getting around to donating that one box. It's just 10. It's like kind of helps. So I'm going to give them directly to her because then she can decide how they can be used, you know, because they're only being given one a day, basically.
Okay. Here's the thing. That's so cool, Cass. Also, weren't you guys making them?
Yeah. So then we're making fabric masks. Now, fabric masks are more to relieve what's happened in every other department. So because the COVID department, the infectious disease part of is pulling every possible resource into it. The fabric masks, they can't use those in the COVID. Those, because they're not really fully protecting. They're like, they stop spatter. And so we give those to people who are just making their rounds, you know,
working with cancer patients.
Or even, yeah, just like in the maternity department or whatever. And or they use them to cover a N95 mask. So it contains spatter. And then you can take it off, wash it, and the COVID is still a little bit less infected. So it's still working. So it's a little of both. But from what I gather, it's not like they're going to take the fabric mask and go right into the trenches. Because they can't trust our work totally. You know, I'm going to steam them and do all the things. And then they're going to get them. And I assume they're also going to put them in an autoclave because they can't just accept some rando's fabric. You know, here, use this in a hospital.
Interesting.
But they will take, apparently. So we're finishing up. They take a lot of work, the ones we decided to make. So we're going to finish those up and drive them over to Highland.
That's cool. Kat Zidane, shout out to Kat Zidane. She's also making them. She just like every day sews a bunch of masks and like gave me one, which was so sweet. And I wear it when I go anywhere. I ordered the day we all got sheltered in place. I went full crazy and ordered a bunch of shit on the internet, which I'm actually grateful for, but also, as time has rolled out, I've been like, oh yeah, here comes that enormous box of Stacy's chips that I thought was really important.
Hey, that'll be gold.
One of the things I ordered was surgical masks. I ordered some, like just the paper ones.
Yeah, well, they still want those too. So you might donate, you might run down to the local hospital and donate that box.
100% I will. But my question is like, why was I able to get them? Because on the internet, it was unavailable, 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 like on Amazon. And then there was one company that was like, sure, we'll send you those. And then they sent me, I have a pile this thick of those. So I will take them wherever they freaking go. But like, why could I get them?
Yeah, they hadn't quite gotten the supply chain locked out yet.
Here's another funny thing. I've been going to, there's a CVS I'll hit up when I need to hit places. The manager was the guy checking me out yesterday when I got whatever I got. And I said, like, so is it like top secret, like hideaway intel, the day and time of your toilet paper delivery? He goes, oh yeah. And we don't tell people anymore. And I go, why? He goes, because it's a fucking zoo in here when the toilet paper arrives. It is crazy. Nobody gives a shit about 6 feet apart. People come in and they're like, give me my fucking toilet paper. And he's like, so now we're really serious about, we don't tell. He's like, we only get it once a week. It used to be all the time. Now it's once a week because that's all they could do. And he's like, and we keep it on the DL. And everybody who works here takes some and buys it and takes it home. And then we start to put it on the shelves. And he's like, sometimes what we're doing is rotating it. Like it'll come on a Tuesday, but we won't put it out till Friday.
So people cannot track the pattern.
Yes. But now, okay, I'm going to be a little negative Nancy now. And you can give me a positive spin on this if you want. I get scared for me. What comes up for me in response to that is like, that is the first stage of human behavior that leads to looting. Because that's that same fear-based like, oh, there's one toilet paper yet left? Cool. I'm going to murder you. I don't give a fuck anymore. Move out my way. Smash that window. Take what you want.
Yeah. There's always can be a video of people fighting about anything on the internet and has been prior to all this. But like there was the video of the two women getting in a full on like slugfest in like the aisle of a big box store because someone was trying to take the last two toilet papers. And she was like, give me that one. And they fucking threw down. I also know people like I saw someone. He posted, he's the type of person who gets involved if something's going on. He, you know, he steps in and he goes, hey, no, you can't be that way. Someone was taking stuff out of an old person's cart, like in a store. And he just, he said, I took the guy outside. I walked him outside. Cause I was like, nope, we're not doing that. We are not doing that. And I will walk you outside and it could come to something bigger than this, but you're not going to do that. And I was like, wow, A, this guy's kind of a super, he's a little bit of a local Batman, you know, he just takes care of, and he's always posting about getting involved in something. And usually he just, it, you know, he's enough of a tough presence with martial arts training and stuff that he can be like, nope. Hearing about that, like, why did he even have to do that? Really? Someone was like, this old person's not going to stop me from taking their hand wipes from their cart. So
Jesus, God. I mean, that's what I'm saying is the consciousness, like what fear, like real, real deep down fear, like the fear of survival, what that does to people. And it's a good topic kind of to get us toward some kind of something, which is that is fear. You know, there's a real sort of, well, let me think of it. So basically in the spiritual worlds, right, like with spiritual people and all the schools of thought about spirituality, there's all this sort of like extremist stuff around fear. People learned in the spiritual world that fear is a lie, and that fear, if you act from fear and make your choices from fear, you're going to get fear-based outcomes, which are usually not that great, except for when they are. And, you know, like that's my addition to that equation. Like people go like, never act from fear. And that's like the spiritual mantra, which is why a lot of us don't listen to the news. Personally, I don't listen to it because it riles my nervous system up in a way that makes me so ungrounded and freaked out that I can't do what I have to do in life. So it just pulls me off my center in a way where I'm like, I don't have time to be pulled off my center. I got to do my life and contribute in some way. So I'm not going there. But lately, it's a whole different animal. I got time to find my center whenever I fucking need it. Point being, spiritual people are like, don't even listen to fear. Fear is always a lie, and they get real black and white about it. And then news people, or like the general population, is like, chit chat about fear, fear and fear and fear, all the fear. The news is fear. CNN is fear. Fear, fear, fear. And when you look at like what drives most of capitalism, it's anxiety. Oh, fuck, I don't have any money. Oh, fuck, I need a house on a hill. Oh, fuck, I want more money. I need a car. I need. Am I keeping up with the Joneses? Am I good enough? Does my daddy love me? Do I have value? No, I don't. Better get some more stuff. Better do some more things. Better, you know, and it's all fear. So that's why the spiritual people are so anti-fear. Now, the problem with being anti-fear, obviously, is that sometimes fear is incredibly useful. You have to be present to fear to survive reality, A. And fear is like any emotion. It's giving us little nuggets of information. It's about sifting through fear intelligently and in an emotionally evolved, sensitive, spiritually aware way. It's about sifting through it. It's not about just tossing it out the window.
Well, you have spoken quite often in almost every episode about, in order to deal with whatever we're dealing with, you have to sit with your emotion, feel your emotion, transform your emotion, and you can't skip a step. You can't not. So, and fear is an emotion. You can't say, no fear, don't have it, because then it doesn't mean you're not having it. So like to say like, don't deal with your fear or don't have fear is absurd, because then you're not going to be spiritually aligned because you've cut yourself off from part of the whole. And like you said, fear is information. If the tiger is running towards you, you better listen to your fear.
The other thing is like, we could, the tiger example, or like, you know, they always say like, if I'm stepping into traffic, I hope I'm afraid of a car, you know, car, a truck hitting me, whatever. But also like, let's look at a real life example of like,
you've never faced a tiger running at you?
Usually the tigers I run into are in traffic. So it's all
right. It's all, it's hard to parse it out.
But like if even just look at like at the acting industry, right? Like I used to do this thing in my 20s when I first learned about like fear is a lie, where I'd be like, let me see if I can articulate it. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, and being a working actor and like auditioning a lot, you're dealing with fear all the fucking time. I'm up against fear a lot. Like, am I good enough? They're not going to like me. I'm too this. Okay, I'm excited about the audition. I'm nervous. There's fear in there. I nailed it. You leave. Like, am I going to get it? I'm afraid I won't. Did they like me? Did I do it? You know, all the like internal kind of like stuff around just being an actor. Am I going to make enough money? Will I work again? All of that neurotic sort of anxiety, fear. It's all fear underneath all that. And so I had this thing for a long time where I was like, well, if fear is always a lie, I'm just going to, all of that shit around auditions and around everything, I'm just going to push it aside. And like, and we do this thing. I mean, I hear it all the time with actors. Like, yeah, you just have to let that go. You just let it go. And we're like aggressive about, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're not going to book me. I let it go. I push it out of my mind. And nobody's like acknowledging like, no, I'm actually like worried and bummed out. If I don't get it, I'm sad. And I'm worried right now. I have fear that I won't get it. And then that means I don't get my health insurance and I don't get my la la la. And maybe I'm not have no value in life. Like there's so much material there in that process that we could be dropping into the center of and moving through and discovering things from. But instead we just go like, oh, like, no, push it. I have no fear. I just go forth. And then
there's t-shirts that say no fear. It's like for real, it's important, man.
It's just it's a way to have a deeper experience of existing is to drop into everything and move through everything. And you could easily argue we don't have to, or why bother? And I would argue that the universe has said to us, now you will, bitch. And the reason is if you don't go into everything and be with everything and get through it to the other side, you make choices that are unintegrated. And when we make unintegrated choices, we get an environmental crisis and patriarchy and rape culture and racism and all the fucking things we have in our world that don't function. Those are from human mammals not integrating their pain.
Right. They're still reacting from fear, but they're not using their fear as a valuable tool. Like you said, I think you talked about it a few episodes ago that no one's heard maybe, but maybe they have. We don't know. You talked about the idea of reacting versus like acting from knowing. You're still in a sense reacting, but you're acting out. You can still act informed by your fear. You can let the fear inform your action as part of the, but you're not reacting from fear. Like, here's fear and here's what I'm doing because of that. You're processing the fear and then you're acting. You're acting out of hopefully, ultimately, always going, you know, transferring the fear into love. Everything transforms to love and then we act from love. We hope.
Yeah. I mean, or at least like sometimes like with fear for me, if I'll have some fear, my therapist like holds my feet to the fire and makes me feel it a lot more than I want to. It'll make me cry because there's some like anger or sadness or something there. There's like a grief I don't want to face. And then when I'm done with the crying, I'm suddenly just peaceful. Like I'm just with the seat of myself. I'm just there with myself. And the fear isn't having that vibration running through the middle of me anymore. Now it's just silence and peace. So now when I make a choice, I might in the end make the same choice I would have made had I listened to the fear. But I'm making it from a place of peace, alignment, and centeredness, which means who I'm being as I make the choice and take the action is different in the world. And that is the point. It's who we're being as we make choices and move forward. Because if I interact with you on this, okay, we'll go back to the toilet paper example. I'm in a store and there's a lady and she's got that last toilet paper. If I feel my fear and drop into it, I'm going to die if she gets that last toilet paper. And then I realize, actually by facing the fear, I'm not actually going to die right now because that lady has toilet paper. I'm not actually going to die. Then what choice would I make now? I might be able to be kind and generous with her because there's no actual threat. Now, you get to a different example a few months from now, if and when we're all still in some kind of situation like the one we're in now, and things are more dire. And let's say there comes a time where actually the threat of death is present every minute. Like, let's say there's one bottle of water left and no running water, and it's the last store that you can find, and your car is broken down, and there's one bottle of water, and you've got your family in the car. Now, what
if we were that's a big hypothetical, but also so is the tiger. And if I go to the tiger, I'm still going to make the same action, which is run. But if I had the time, which I don't because the tiger is running towards me, but if I had the time to stop and transform that fear into logic or into informed decision, the informed decision is still run.
When you say run, you mean like get that water?
So transforming that over to the water, I was doing the tiger. Sorry.
Yeah.
And confused the stories. Our metaphors are abstract metaphors that aren't actually happening. Yeah. So the water is still, the action is still get water for my family, but it might not be punch that person and grab it.
See, it's interesting because I don't, for my money, I sort of go like, because see, another thing that we all have to learn over and over, I find, is that everything is situational. In other words, like, you know, people will ask me questions in my healing classes or my healing clients or whatever, you know, we're in their records and it's like, you have all the answers, right? Your podcast is called All the Answers.
We did make a bold claim.
And they go, so do I break up with this guy or not? Like they want like an answer. And I go, you got to tell me details, motherfucker, because the situation, even if you give me like a sort of details, everything is situational. And so the record keepers are wise. They're not going to advise you to make a move based on half information. That's insane. It has to be like, what is the situation? And then, and what is the context? And what are the options on the table? And what is the moment? So in other words, I pose that question because I might punch a bitch if it was the last water bottle and it's me and my family and I need that fucking water. I might. If we're in post-apocalyptic, everything's fucked, the whole system is down, I don't know. I think that like the sort of evolved perspective always is like, don't resort to violence and like, oh, puppy dog in my lap. Oh, hello.
This dog has no respect or all the respect because it's just living purely through love.
You know what's funny about this dog? And then I'll finish that thought is that every time I'm on Zoom, if I'm teaching, if I'm doing a healing session, whatever I'm doing, when I get riled up, she does that. She comes up, she's like, I love you. You're okay. Don't be panicking. I'll kiss you on your face. It's very, very, very amazing. Yeah. How tuned in you are. Thank you for that. I love you. Anyway, what I was going to say is that it's situational. The higher choice would always be like, don't resort to violence, right? Because no matter what, that's going to spread. And then you have a lawless world where people are just punching each other. But like, what's the situation? How bad is it really? I don't know. I'm just a human being too. Like, maybe it's time to punch a bitch. I don't know. And by the way, for people listening, I'm not arguing for go punch a bitch. I'm talking about like baseline, death is on the line for real. And because we're looking at fear, we're looking at what fear does for us. Like you need fear to run away from the tiger. Similarly, like if you're going to what's it called? Not starve to death, but die from being thirsty. What's that called?
Yeah, it's like starving, but dehydration. There's no active verb for that. Damn it. We need better death verbs.
If you're going to die of drinkvation, then you might have to punch a bitch is the message of today's spiritual podcast.
If you're going to parch, no, doesn't work. I feel like we've thematically landed on something. By the way, I checked our Gmail. No questions came in directly.
I don't think we've made it clear to listeners that like always be sending us questions. I don't think that's been articulated very much, but that's something we could start to sort of be saying all the time. Like, please send us questions. The dog, meanwhile, is climbing my shoulder.
The dog is acting like a cat right now, climbing over to sit on your back.
Anyway, so yeah, I think that's something we want to start saying actively is like, hey, anybody listening, anytime you want, email us at
allanswerspod@gmail.com.
Allanswerspod@gmail.com. Any time of the day or night, and just send, hey, I want you to ask this, and we will.
And you can follow us on our vaguely active Twitter, which is @allanswerspod. And then you can slide into our DMs. That's what the kids are saying.
Ooh, sexy.
I know. It sounds like DMs is like BVDs, but which is also a concept that people don't know.
What's BVD?
That's an old school word for underwear.
Oh, BVDs.
BVDs. Slide into my BVDs, baby.
Well,
I can start to formulate a question that has been bubbling while we were talking, which is, it's a pretty broad question, but it has to do with how do we manage our fear now, right? Or just, I mean, of course it's now, everything's now. How do we manage our fear? I mean, I could ask, how do I manage my fear? But I feel like but I'm actually not experiencing high levels of fear. So I don't know that my question is as urgent, but I know that there are people out there who have that question.
Yeah, but you're a stand-in for, you're a pole right now for the consciousness of...
Which I am happy to be, but yeah, how do I manage my fear?
Yeah, let's do that. That's a great question. I'm already hearing a lot of it.
Desmond's nodding emphatically. He feels like that's a strong possibility.
Okay.
Also, you're good at asking whether that's the question to ask too, which I always love that.
Yeah, this is, it reads already as pretty good. Before we dive into it really quickly, I just wanted to say, this is sort of a weird thing to, it's like, I feel like I have an admission or like I gotta confess this thing, which is a weird reaction to have to a positive thing, but there you have it. I had this healing the other day where a buddy of mine named William Lewis, he is a very gifted healer. He and I trade healings back and forth. And I was giving him a session. And in that session, I was getting a ton of healing myself. He's such a sort of high vibe, tapped in kind of woo-woo wizard that just connecting with his soul and being in his records, shit starts to heal through me. So we were just back and forthing, which was very beautiful and interesting to watch from inside of it. The result of that session, well, many things occurred, but one of the main things I noticed ever since then, there's been a certain degree to which, let me back up and put it this way. William is someone who, I mean, this guy works as much as, if not more than me in the records, but he doesn't call it in the records. He's just like tapping into super high vibe frequencies all day, every day with his clients and with himself. It's like his hobby and his love and his thing, and he's just always in it. And he and I joke that he and I are the only people we each respectively know who spend that much time bothering with this shit. You know, it's like a lot to do, and we're both just kind of driven to do it. What are you going to do? Anyway, he is a guy who, like one time, he and his and someone else, there were three of us in a room, and the two of them said, why don't you open both of our records at the same time and we'll ask this question. We were talking about something. Should we go here? Should we go there? We were like, let's open the records. So I opened the records and I was, as I was beginning to say the prayer, what happens for me when I start to say these prayers is there's a frequency that I become aligned with. So as I was starting to like peel that layer of consciousness open, I looked over at William and I realized, oh, he's just sitting in that vibration all the time. He's like a walking open records at a really high level of frequency all the time. And so he could just start a healing any old second, and he could just see stuff any old second. He's just there. So I saw that in that moment and I realized like, oh shit, one day I'm gonna be that. That's not exactly what I want to be.
Sounds exhausting.
Well, you might think that, but is it?
Yeah, maybe it's empowering and constantly, yeah.
If you're not being it, you have no idea what it is to be that, right? And so I looked at it and I went, oh shit, I just saw my future a little bit. And then cut to a bunch of months later, a girlfriend of mine who's very tapped in and very awesome, who also is like really good at like the world. She's very like here in the world, makes money, does well, has the house with the geese, she has like a pond and the cars and the goats and the geese. Anyway, she said to me one time, we were in the records for her, and she goes, I wonder at what point you're going to realize that when you say in the records, you mean I'm being me and I'm in my awareness. And I was like, whoa. And I really sat with that for a while. And since then I've realized, like when she said that, I thought, what if the notion of me, self, for any of us, that we're functioning from normally is simply, I mean, this is not a new idea, but to integrate it into my own awareness was a big deal for me personally. Like this idea of the self we think is us, it's really just, we're talking about the lower self, the small s self who has attached to notions of identity that have to do with anything other than being aligned with the capital S self, the spirit self. In other words, when I look at William energetically, not fully, because he's not done and he's not a saint, but he's more of a person who is like his capital S self is just present every moment more so than most of us, meaning he is just the river of light in any given moment. He could just choose to just like, that's who I am. Now he's got injuries and he's got an ego, so, and he could touch back into those things and certainly does. He's a human being. But there are human beings that turn into what's called a, they usually call him a saint. And a saint is someone who just has fully become the river of love and the river of light and is floating through reality in a three-dimensional body with no attachment to any egoic notions of self or the small s self, right? So all of this is coming back to this healing we did 2 days ago where I yesterday, after the healing that was the night before, I walked outside to put my garbage in the garbage can.
Very small s self thing to do.
It's the thing you have to do, and you could do it from small s or you could do it from big S. And I was walking down the street and I realized, oh, wow, my records are open all the time. In other words, something blew open in that session that allowed me to have access to the vibrational frequency of the records just here on the pavement walking to get garbage. And that is new for me, brand fucking new. And if we keep doing this podcast as long as I hope we will, and if people keep listening, like, you will hear me. I do so much fucking healing work with myself. Like, you will hear me change over time and have weird new abilities and things become new things over and over again. And this one really was cool. So coming back to the moment when you said, is that the question or whatever question we're looking at asking right now? And I'm getting yeses and I'm getting information and I'm already channeling information and I've said no prayer. I'm just watching that occur right now and going like, huh. Because what that does is that turns you into, I mean, that's a different level of, I want to say responsibility. It turns me into a being who there's going to be no not knowing in a certain way at a certain point.
That's the curse of Cassandra too.
I don't know what that means.
Cassandra is in Greek, or I might've said this in a previous podcast, but the Cassandra is a seer, an oracle, who no one believes, like that's her curse, is to know all and never be listened to. And I don't mean that that's going to happen to you, but I mean, that would be part of knowing all the time.
What, that some people won't believe?
The possible frustration that you have information that people won't take in.
Well, but that's been the frustration of my entire life. I've always known too much and I've always seen everything. It's just that now what I'm seeing is like higher levels of subtlety, like more subtlety. I have access to more information from different realms and different. I'll give an example. Last night in my writing class, I won't name any names, but I do this writing class online that's like about spiritual alignment. Like we do a channeled session of writing on Saturdays and then people write and then they bring their writing on Wednesdays and I get feedback, right? And when people start talking and they're in front of me and they're like, oh, am I writing this? They're reading their stuff. I see what is happening inside of them and I feel in my body what's happening in their body. So I can say to them, cool, while you're reading this, would you be willing to feel your heart, for example? And this one person felt their heart while they were reading and then started crying. And then the writing she had written became a healing for herself. But had I not felt, I mean, I can't not feel what's going on with her. And that makes it, that's a good skill to have for being a teacher, healer person. And it's a weird skill to have in most other contexts. Like if you go to a party with people, oh, well, dating, I would argue it's good because I've resisted the goodness of it for a long time because I've been like, but who's going to be left for me to bone if I could see everything? But now I understand that, like, thank God, because I don't want to be with someone I can't be with anyway. Like if you're toxic or crazy or you're going to be emotionally unavailable, I better be psychically attuned to that shit.
Yeah, you'd save a lot of time.
Well, and you're making a joke, but it's also such a good point and topic because dating is the place where for me, I still go, I love to go to fantasy about dating. I love to be like, maybe because blah, or he's, but we're, it could be a blah, blah, blah. Like, nah.
Opposites attract and we'll create a reality that's better.
Oh, fucking hell. Like I can so easily go to fantasy and just be like, but he's pretty, therefore, you know, whatever, who knows. But I'll tell you this much, God or the universe or whatever this frequency is we're tapping into, it doesn't, I have no choice anymore in that arena. If it's not good for the spirit, the dynamic with a dude, the dynamic with a dude blows up almost immediately now. I don't have to fucking do anything. We just meet, connect, and either they're mad and gone, or I'm mad and gone, or I'm like, oh, we have to have a talk. It just happens. It happened the other day. I fell in love during quarantine. I did.
Ah! Tinder situation.
I'm not going to reveal.
Okay. Anything. No source. No source reveals. Blah,
blah, blah. But I will say what matters is like there's a human mammal.
Male or female, we won't even say.
Just a bipedal, upright human mammal for whom I developed very strong emotional responses that were sexual.
In all the chakras.
Sexual and romantic in nature in every chakra.
Heart and root or second.
Root and second, all of them. Yeah, second. Second and heart. And real fast, it was like, the other person could feel that it had happened because it was like, what happened for me was like my heart blew open. And so, and I didn't say any words. I didn't change my behavior in our talkings through the internet in the ways we were talking. And then suddenly they were like, the other person was like, what's up? And I was like, nothing. And then they were like, well, for a bunch of hours now, I can't get you out of my head, but like, what's happening? And I was like, oh, well, all right. I'm in love with you. I didn't say in love with you, but I said, okay, let's just fucking do it. The person said, I can't get you out of my head, but I'm not sure this is a platonic or not platonic kind of you're in my head, because this person was like, I admire you a lot. And like, I want to be calling you a lot, but I'm realizing it's because I want you to help me with everything. And I think that's inappropriate given that I'm not your client. And what I had said to the person was, usually by now, when this is happening with me and another person, like the moment this starts to happen where I can feel, because I'm pretty fucking tapped in is the point of this everything. I can feel that someone is starting to be like, every problem I have, call Katie. As soon as I feel that, I go, cool, you have to go to my website and book a session now, because I'm not going to be your coach for free. I just don't do that. I need a life. So with this person, I had noticed that days before we had passed that point.
And you had not put up the...
No. And in fact, so in this conversation, I said, look, I'm going to use a he pronoun. He had said, I feel weird that I'm coming to you all the time. Is that okay? And I had said, well, you know, I can't explain it, but I don't mind. Like, I'm happy to talk to you about your shit. And then I was like, ooh, I'm in trouble. That means I like you. So then time went by and then the conversation was had about, okay, you're in my head a lot. What the fuck? And then it turned into, and I was like, well, I'll just say my heart has blown open with you. I don't know what to do. I'm not married to what we do about it, but it is open and you are in it. And then his response was, I want to fuck 25-year-olds.
Wow. And you were like, good, thank you. And you had missed that information a little bit.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't want to know, I guess. I went, and that's my point, is that I was like, but I love him. So maybe it's, I don't know what about him. I'm just a girl and he's a boy and And so then when he revealed that, I was like, wait, what? He goes, yeah, you know that thing where like somebody doesn't want you and then you want them more? And I'm like, uh-huh. He's like, yeah, I want that.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I gotta go. And then we hung up and then I cried and was real sad for a full evening. Because like there was a real loss. Like this is a great topic actually, because people get weird about this kind of thing. It's like, look, rationally, my mind goes like, cool, that's a person I can't be with anyway, because it would never, I'm not gonna play games and like be unavailable so he could be turned on. Like I'm not, what the fuck, no. That's like his thing that he has to work through and it has nothing to do with me. And I'm not playing into that because I want someone who wants me with my awesomeness and my generosity and my love, not who I have to like shut them out to get their fuck you. So anyway, that's reason, right? But reason and the heart, not same. So my heart needed to grieve. And so I let it grieve. I was sad, 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 went to bed, cry, 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 fell asleep, woke up in the morning, a lot better. I woke up like, huh, okay. I processed a lot of that grief in my sleep. That feels better. Then I did some healing work on it, took the pain in my heart to the light, or I should say brought the light to the pain in my heart. And then I felt like it took me, the light, God, whatever, took me all the way through the pain. And of course I got in touch with, oh, my daddy was totally unavailable emotionally, always standoffish, and seemed to be like irritated with my love. I'd be like a little innocent kid and I'd be like, daddy. And he'd be like, that's not intelligent or interesting to choose to be a child with an open heart. I need intelligent, interesting choices. And I was like 2, you know, and 5. So I learned in my little nervous system, like, must be little person who's intelligent and interesting for man to love her. So all that wiring is getting reworked now about like, no, it's okay to be vulnerable and open and in love and like wait for someone who wants that. I don't have to put on some kind of anything for someone to be with me. But my point being, like, getting to that clarity, like for real in my own heart and in my own feelings, second chakra, even down deeper than the heart in the low belly, that required me to be fucking sad.
Oh, you had to feel your emotion and go through it and transform it into information.
But the feeling, the rational brain will always say, but he's a dick, or like, well, fuck him, or like, he doesn't matter, or he's immature.
Right. It's on him that the problem is.
And we want to go to judgment and be like, if I make him wrong, then that liberates me from my pain. It doesn't. You're still going to have to do that grieving work, bitch. You're still going to have to do it.
That's such a big one. That's a whole other huge 2-hour conversation of, if I make you wrong, that'll fix my fucking problem. And it never, ever does. And that brings tears to my eyes, just the thought of that, because that's so the root of the crisis of everything. It's fucking Trump's problem. Like, if I just say that I'm right, then I'm okay. Then it's okay. No, nothing's okay. You actually have to admit you're wrong and move through that and get to the root of what's actually going on. Everybody's action is like CYA, cover your own fucking ass, have other people be wrong so that you can be right, rather than, no one gives a shit who's right or wrong. We actually want help. And so you gave yourself help in a sense, rather than making him wrong. You helped. You went to, let me help myself.
That's it.
What aid do I need in this? And you have tools that allow you to have that aid for yourself.
That's right. And, you know, we talk about, I always teach this concept on the first day of any creativity class I teach, like if I'm teaching improv or acting or stand-up, I do a full 2-hour class on the concept of right and wrong and on judgment. And I talk about how judgment is the thing that will kill your creativity faster than anything else. And here's what judgment is. It's the lie of the mind that says there is this polarity where there's a right choice and there's a wrong choice and you have to make the right one, or you're going to resist that and make the wrong one. So you're still caught in a binary. All there is right, wrong. So I try to obliterate that for people on day one, or at least introduce them to the idea, whatever, whatever. Point being, I feel like that point that you made, Cass, is literally the only and the main problem that exists in human consciousness. And we will either get that through this thing we're in the middle of, this situation, we will get it, or we will not get it. That is the thing.
Right. You'll either get it or you will die. And you individuated die, or we collectively, or that which we recognize as the current system, whatever.
It's like the whole shebang bang. And a lot of us have been yelling it and screaming it, like the comedians and the hippies and the people doing plant medicine and the healers have been yelling forever and ever. You don't need to be right. You need to be open. You need to connect to yourself and that other person. You don't need to be right. It's not about being right. It's not about winning. It's about what's happening here for me and what's happening here for you and what needs to happen next. And boy, do we collectively not get that yet.
Shit. I mean, of course we want to do a record reading, but I think we just did it. But, you know, because as Katie just pointed out, you just pointed out that you're more tuned in than you used to be every day. You're more, you don't necessarily have to go, okay, record keepers speak, though I love it when they do, that you're bringing that information more readily to the table.
Let's open them, because this question that you asked,
how do we manage our fear? How do I manage my fear?
Is really good. And then someone else posted it, because I posted a quick question on my page, like, hey, anybody reading this, like, what question would you ask? And someone asked, how do we move through this? Which I feel like is the same.
Okay, let's do that.
So the question's in the air. So let's just go through the formal steps of it. Cassidy's like, I was going to try to get us out of having to go through the records thing by saying that thing.
No, I totally want to.
I was just kidding. That's a projection because part of me is like, oh God, more feelings. So we're going to feel more. Okay. All right. Oh, okay, just stretching. So we're going to just bring our feet to the ground if we can. And take a couple deep breaths into the low belly. Okay. Feeling into the low belly, breathing into the low belly, allowing the low belly to fill with air as you inhale. And allowing all the air in the low belly to release out of your low belly. And as we continue to breathe into the low belly and out from the low belly, we're going to imagine, see, or allow the idea of the bottoms of each foot opening, little foot chakras at the center bottom of each foot opening, continuing to breathe into the low belly. Little channels of energy, little spheres of light opening at the bottom of each foot. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, it's going to be a doozy. And as those feet open, we see roots growing from the bottom center of each foot. As that foot chakra or energy field or vortex opens up, a complex structure of roots grows from our spirit as connected to the body down through each foot into the earth, grounding us. Allah, building a bunch of roots through the bottom center of each foot into the earth. Allah, see a complex root structure growing out of the bottom of each foot into the planet I'm in. Let those roots grow down for miles into the earth, miles and miles and miles, left and right and down and center and back and forward. Roots and roots and roots. Down and down and down. Excellent. As that continues to occur, and as you continue to breathe into your low belly, let's see, imagine, or allow there to be a nice grounding cord that extends from the base of your spine down to the center of the earth. By the way, this tripod grounding meditation is, I got this from Lisa Barnett, who has an amazing school called AkashicKnowing.com. She's an excellent Akashic Records teacher and healer herself. She's like the master. She's been really instrumental in bringing this work forward in the world. Tripod grounding meditation comes from her, which probably comes from the record keepers. Yeah. Seeing that grounding cord drop to the center of the earth, we allow that grounding cord to be about a foot and a half wide. Nice, big, open, wide grounding cord. We understand and allow this grounding cord to be porous and receptive. And as we allow it to be that, we begin to receive the light of the soul of Gaia, Sophia Gaia, the spirit of the earth, up through that grounding cord. Her light, her consciousness, her energy comes up through that grounding cord. You can imagine it like a light or a water or an energy, however you like to see it. I see it as kind of a green light. Comes up through the cord into our own root chakra, nourishing that root chakra. And then it pours forward into the right leg and the left leg, through the hip, through each quad, through each hammy, down into each knee, down into each shin and whatever this is called. I always forget this word. This is called your calf. Down into each calf, the light of the soul of the earth, down into each ankle. Allah, good, everybody. Down into each foot. And that light begins to easily and in a slippery, gorgeous, fluid way pour down into that root system that we created through the bottom of each foot. Allah. It pours down and it nourishes your very spiritual roots into this earth, making our connection to the earth very, very real, making it have three points of contact, creating unity and oneness between our spiritual essence as individual human mammals and the spiritual essence of the earth as an individual entity itself. Amen. Okay. And then seeing above your head a three-dimensional kite floating above your head that's shaped like your physical body. It's a replica of Cassidy and Desmond and Katie. One of those just floating above your head. It's you, Allah. Seeing a tail of that kite shooting down from the base of that kite that's floating above your head into your crown chakra, through the middle of your head, into your throat. The tail of the kite shoots down into your chest, through your heart, Allah, through your rib cage, Allah, into your third chakra, down into your upper belly, mid belly, low belly, into the root. And that tail of the kite shoots now down instantaneously with total ease and no friction or resistance through the grounding cord down to the center of the planet. We're going to acknowledge now that this kite, this three-dimensional kite that floats above your head, this kite is holding, containing, or carrying all the dissociated aspects of yourself that float above us, that we dissociate away from, that we don't want to feel. And as that tail hits the center of the planet, the gravity at the center of the planet begins to pull the tail down. And the kite that floats above us starts to drop into our physical form now. So that all the dissociated aspects of self drop into the physical body. And we are reunited with all parts of ourself. The tail of the kite tightens and becomes a nice taut line of energy down to the center of the earth. Very tight, long, strong line of energy. It's not slack anywhere. Ya Shafi al Alim al Kudus Asalam al Razak al Aziz. And then just see the feet of the kite dropping into your feet. The shins, calves, knees, quads, hammies, and glutes of the kite dropping into your shins, quads, knees, hammies, glutes, calves, etc. The torso of your kite drops into your torso, the full torso, low belly, pelvic floor, front belly, chest, shoulders, back, sides, side body, butt, hips, Allah. Get those hips of that kite down into your hips. So much information locked into the hips for so many of us, and the glutes and the back. Good. The neck and head of the kite drop into your neck and head. The armpits, arms, elbows, forearms, wrists, hands, palms, fingertips drop into yours. Excellent. The kite locks into place now, dropping fully into your physical form. And we take one more look at that kite tail and we see it tightening to the center of the earth, locking us here, right now. Knowing that the paradox of what is occurring is the more here now we are, the more we can transcend the here and now and expand beyond and through it. The here and now being the doorway to the insight and the expansion. By the power of divine light within all of us, come Holy Spirit, Spirit of light, Spirit of truth, for the highest good of all throughout time. Allah, fill our hearts with divine love as I humbly ask permission to open the divine portal to the highest realm of the Akashic Records. Who are we opening it for? Cassidy, the collective. Okay. For the collective consciousness of mankind. No big deal. Akashic beings of light guide the collective consciousness of mankind to the deepest truth of its being, releasing any blocks and restrictions to its abundance and highest good. Lords of the Akashic Records, assist the collective consciousness of humanity to fully embody its soul's light, to fulfill its soul's purposes and to heal any accumulated karma. Surround the collective consciousness of humanity with the enlightenment and wisdom of its masters, teachers, and loved ones. Clearly direct the collective consciousness of humanity's perspective and actions to those that manifest its divine plan. And I'll go quiet for just a moment. Free of all resistance, judgment, and fear, we're now filled with divine love and the records are open. All right, so I'm just asking the record keepers for a moment here to clear everything from each of us, to open everything in each of us, every chakra that requires opening, to clear any energy that needs to be cleared so I can receive fully, directly, insight, instruction, and healing for the greatest good, for the highest good of the collective. I mean, and so we offer, in addition to that which you already understand and that which has already been delivered and that which has already been spoken of and integrated here, which is that the doorway to knowing the freedom that is available to you, the peace of spiritual connection, the peace of unity with the one, in order to access this, one must connect with and tap into the portal of the emotional body. The emotions are a portal for the human being to find union with, connection with, communion with the divine. So you have your answer. How do we move through fear? This is the question. How do we move through our fear? Is this what it was?
How do we manage our fear was what I asked.
And so it is that your homework assignment is to be with your fear rather than behaving from your fear. First step. Allow this moment right here to be a healing for the places in you that refuse to feel your fear, that won't drop into your fear. So we will clear now and unblock all of your resistance, those listening, those willing to receive, those able to receive, all of your resistance to feeling your fear. Feel it now. Feel into your second chakra, the feeling place, the emotional place. Feel into your heart or your throat, wherever you can feel right now, wherever has a charge, wherever has emotion, wherever has tightness, wherever has intensity or density. Feel into that now. And in the name of the divine, the mother, father of all that is, the lords, masters, and teachers of the Akashic records, for the sake of humanity, we're asking now for strong healing for all the mechanisms within each of us now, and specifically within the collective, for all the mechanisms that make fear impossible to connect with, difficult to connect with, something we resist connecting with, all the unconscious blocks that we have, all the hidden, unsighted, buried, unseen, cloaked, or otherwise, every curse or spell that has buried it, hidden it, made it unseen or unsighted, all the fear, Allah, to be locked into our bodies, being souls and spirits across all times, dimension, space, reality, for all of that to be unlocked, opened, cleared, awakened, dissipated, and sent back to the light so that we can have access to our fear with total ease, and so that the fear can move through and dissipate into love and light with total ease right now. Ameen. Ha! Allah, Allah, Allah. Okay, and there is a concept in psychology that says you have complex PTSD. Complex PTSD. Complex PTSD means you have, what is it? PTSD, trauma, what does it stand for?
Post-traumatic stress disorder, or the D is debatable. I mean,
okay. And so the post-traumatic stress you are carrying exists in a complex web, interwoven web dynamic throughout your body and your nervous system, your heart and your spirit. It's not one place. And it's not simple. You have love PTSD from brokenheartedness, from your families, from your loves, from romance, from friendship. You have Allah, second chakra PTSD from the patriarchy and the rape and the abuse of the land and the women and each other and the men. You have Allah, fear PTSD from the rape and the killing and the babies who die and the sacrifices and the murder and the toxicity of the mind. You have mental PTSD from all the things we've already mentioned. You have brainstem PTSD from the ways that the nervous system tries to protect you from this PTSD by locking this fear and trauma into your brainstem. And so, Allah, as we name these areas, your conscious mind becomes more aware of your own individual pieces of this, oh, I do have locked up energy in the back of my neck where my neck meets my head, AKA brainstem. Oh, I do have stuck energy in my second chakra and in my first chakra, my low belly where the feelings are. Oh, I am still brokenhearted about that person from my past who I still not over or who hurt my feelings and I didn't let myself feel it. Oh, it did break my fucking brain the way my parents didn't parent me. It did. So we bring through strong, powerful, divine light now for the healing of all the places in you where you refuse to see, feel, know, admit, drop into the center of your own fear. Allah. Notice, please, beloveds, please, my loves, my children. Notice, please, when you drop into your fear and the light is present, what happens to your fear? Please notice what happens to your fear. It becomes something else. It transmutes. Feel this now, right now. This is not a concept for your mind to latch onto. This is an experience for your cells, the cells of your body to have. We're giving it to you right now. This is the light. This is the transmutation you're asking for. So play this every day. Allah. Just this segment, play this segment when you feel the fear and it comes up. Play this. Receive this frequency of light. The more integrated human answer to the question is what you already know. You must, but here's the piece that humanity has not quite gotten yet. Well, at least many of you, particularly in the more developed worlds, you still think spirit and life are separate. You still think feelings and spirit are sort of like, there's therapy, and then there's those weird spiritual people. You don't understand that therapy is meant to deepen you into your feelings, which, guess what, deepens you into your fucking spirit. And this fucking, this language, this intensity comes from Sophia Gaia herself, soul of this earth, who says, I'm done. I'm complete with sweet, sweet little messages in the form of a butterfly on the grass. I forgot. This is how higher vibrational beings function. Send them a butterfly and they treat each other well. Whoops, not people. All right. So we'll be direct now. So the more human integrated answer is, you feel the feeling and you bring the spirit, God, whatever that means to you, to the feeling of fear. And you let God transmute the fear. There is no way forward without spirit. You, now here's the key. You can call it whatever you want. You can do whatever form of spirit you like. And there is an example we come to now. There is a specific individual, we're giving Katie this image of this individual. There's this atheist who calls himself an atheist, who she knows. And we'll say, this atheist is one of the more kind and generous people she knows. There is a kindness, a heart warmth, a love, an earth-based, grounded love. Moving through this atheist, as he likes to call himself, which is fine, that some spiritualists will never have access to. This atheist is more spiritual than most people he knows. So what does spiritual mean? It means you are connected directly in your body with the essence of the one. The one what? The fabric of creation. Love, the Tao, peace. Mercy, unity, oneness, God, the light, light beings, light codes, whatever you fucking prefer. Nobody gives a shit in the realm of consciousness. We're just sitting out here going, are they gonna fucking get it now? You are a comedy show. You are a fucking comedy show, all of you. It's so simple and it's right at your fingertips and you want to resist because you're so in love with your freedom. But what you don't get is the paradox that the Christians spoke of. Sorry, people who are afraid of Christianity. We understand Christianity has injured many of you. But what you must really understand is that it is not Christianity, the actual essence, the spiritual teachings of the mystic you call Jesus Christ. It's not the shit he said. Duh. How many of you still don't get that point? It's what the human beings did with the teachings he said. It's how you twisted his teachings to get power and domination and control of one another. It's how your fear drove you to use the teachings of a mystical ascended master teacher who came here to give you the fucking answers. You used it to get more stuff that you thought would give you the thing that his teachings were giving you. He was standing there handing you light to heal your fear. And you were like, you know, I think money's gonna heal my fear. I think power over that bitch over there is gonna heal my fear. I think if I fuck those 10 ladies, that'll fucking heal my fear. Oh, you're so silly. He was standing there with a staff of light. He was beaming light. He was handing you light. Okay, and so it's what the Christians have been saying. Not the people who try to control you with the religion called Christianity, narrow-minded douchebags. The Christ body embodiment has been trying to teach you, which is that there is no separation. That love, I mean, look, it's a cliche, but sorry. Why do cliches are cliche? Because they're true. John Lennon understood it, and all he had to do was one tab of acid. Just one. All you need is love. Now, if the way you like to get that and get that moving through your actual body so you know what it really fucking is you like to like chant the word om, fucking do it. If you like to put on a fez and dance around in circles, fucking do that. If you like to do drugs and they open your mind, man, there's some problems with that because entities and demons and they come into your field and that's complicated. But fucking do that because humanity needs you to do fucking something. Okay. So the more grounded, integrated human response to the question is bring the light of God already, whatever you want to fucking call that, into your feelings and watch them transmute. It's the same, it's the same, it's the same. It's so simple you don't like it. It's so simple, you want something more complicated. It's so simple, you have to bow your ego to the simplicity of it. And your mind is not a fan of that. You don't like things to be simple. Why? Because then your ego has to die. It's only the ego that complexifies things. So find a way to connect to source. Make spirit be the essence of your life. Take every feeling and fear you have to spirit every fucking day, all the time. There's no time not to. There's never a moment where it's like, this time, just be afraid and act from it. No, become religious in your communion with God. Sorry, you gotta. And when we say religion, we don't mean some institution in a building where a man is there and you pay him money. We're talking about religious, like disciplined. Get your discipline on, bitches. Just start to do a little bit every day. If that's all you can do, do 15 minutes a day. And please just remember this. This is not for us. We don't care. You're a comedy show. We don't care. We love you. We hope you do things that make you feel better. You can do whatever you fucking want. We offer you this for you because you're asking. You're asking. We're not missionaries, the beings of light. We're not missionaries. Come do what we say because we want you to be like us. You're asking and we're answering. You're saying, how do we get liberated? And we're saying, here you go, like this. Remember Jesus? He already told you. Remember Buddha? He gave you a different way. Remember Green Tara? She showed you a cool thing. Oh, no, you don't remember them? Okay. It's funny. And now I'm just like right here with myself, Katie Rubin, and they're showing me the image of roller skating. Like a mom with her kid holding hands at the roller skating rink. And the beauty of there's an outdoor skating rink at this park where I take my dog to take her to the dog park. There's an outdoor paved thing and they're showing me like a dad or a mom holding hands with a kid and they're on the four wheel skates that are not the inline ones and they're skating and they're laughing and the dad has a moment of forgetting the challenges of his work life and the fears and he's just in love with his kid and the kid is in love with him and freedom is available. And they're like, yeah, it's just that. It's just that. That's all it is. And so they're saying the choices you make, do they make more of that happen? And I'm just aware of how many choices I've made that don't make more of that happen. And just the grief with that. The grief of all the time and energy this lifetime spent striving and proving and winning and earning. Nobody roller skates more because of that. And immediately there's a compassion that drops in through my system. I think it's Kuan Yin is a compassion for showing me the history I came from. And of course, that's what I would believe with my history. And the gift of now is to break all of our patterns. That is the gift of now. And that is the gift of our fear. If you feel into it, you might yell at people on a podcast for a while. And then on the other side, realize that roller skating is the answer. Not having a big enough business. And so it is. So there's just a lot of humility present right now for me. And it feels like for the people willing and able to, you know, hear this stuff and receive this kind of energy, like a lot of humility for the collective right now, where we're just like little kids, like, I saw we had it wrong. Whoops. And then there's a message for me, which is what we were talking about at the beginning of, you must believe, Katie, you have to act as if more people can hear this than you think. And that's my work, to come out of my mind, my ego, my fear-based notions. That, you know, 12 people can hear this, when really, that's not what they're showing. It's 12,000 and then 120,000 and then millions. That's what it is. This is a gift. This is service. When you're actually serving in alignment with source, when you're just actually giving something that contributes more roller skating energy with dad, then that's what spreads like wildfire. So how are you doing, Cassidy?
I have no resistance to anything you've just said or that was just delivered. In fact, like I usually have little like, well, yeah, but I don't feel that at all. I feel very satisfied. I'm feeling, I mean, once again, I have tears in my eyes and coming down my cheeks every episode because truth does that. And today, my observation is that it was when it was at its, I'll call it funniest, that it broke through for me, that the sort of feelings broke through. Because the best funny is truth, like always, you know. Untrue funny is like, ha ha, okay. But truth funny is fucking amazing. And it broke through to my heart because it wasn't just the sort of ferociousness, but it was the sassy ferociousness that was necessary. I mean, it is definitely, you know, they were speaking through Katie Rubin, and Katie Rubin's one of your pathways is that, and this is not to stroke Katie Rubin, yeah, you're so amazing, but it is to say, like, that for me is part of the power of the message is the messenger, and the framing of the message makes it very, there's different ways for us to take in the information, and today's was one of them, and I really feel very like, yeah, it came in. There's a different kind of cry. It wasn't a painful cry or like, oh God. It was a, oh yeah, fuck yeah, thank you, thank you. It was a thank you, that's it. Yeah, I feel like almost a joyful gratitude for an intense, fierce message.
That's cool.
That's where I'm at.
How about you, Desmond?
The message was great, but what I really needed today was to just be calm for 20 minutes. So, you know, if you had just said, all right, we're going to sit here and just close our eyes for 20 minutes and relax. That's what I really, really needed. And again, the second, you know, we went silent for the prayer, tears just started rolling down my eyes just because I said they're held back by tension. And so just sitting here and being calm in this space with you guys was what I really, really needed this week.
That's beautiful.
How are you, Katie?
Well, thank you, Desmond, for saying that. Just to kind of, yeah. You know, that's such a perfect example of what they're talking about when they say it can come in whatever form. It's not has to be some fancy outfit you wear and you go to a building where people sit and they're quiet. It can, sometimes it's just silence, the gift of silence. Their spirit is there. Love is in silence. God is silence. It's all there. So it's just a perfect example of, like, when you think of what the Quakers do, you know, the Quakers like sit in a quiet room together. And if somebody is moved by the spirit to stand up and say words, they do it. Now that's fucking weird to a lot of us. We judge that as weird because what? That's not how you do it. That's how they fucking do it. And they found a way. And look at them doing okay. They're peaceful motherfucking people. Have you ever hung out with Quakers? They are chilling. Anyway, so thank you, Desmond, because yeah, what if you just need 20 minutes? What if you just need everybody? You feel the beauty of that silence just for a second. Let's taste it. It's pretty good in there.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in a pool. I don't know if you ever had that moment as a kid where you went underwater for the first time for a long time and you sort of realized, wow, it's different down here where I can't hear them up there.
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about that feeling as how powerful it was. It was super powerful. We were so into it.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a float sometime. I've never done a float, an isolation tank.
Oh, God. So good. I've done a bunch.
It's magical.
How was it magical for you, Desmond?
For me, it's just the most amazing place to meditate ever. And what the deprivation that struck me the hardest and released the most, whatever's going on out here, was the deprivation of time. You know, after a while, you don't realize if you've been laying there for 5 minutes or 40 minutes. And that was mind altering in this world that's just dominated by the clock.
That's great. I remember the first time I went in, I love that time dissolving. I when they closed the door, you're like, you know, it's all black and it's like the perfect temperature. It's supposed to be like body temperature. So you don't even like really feel the water. You just feel nothingness, except for if you move, of course, and it pushes up against you and you notice it. But you can get to a place where you're just not moving and you're just, there's nothingness. And what happened for me the first time I did it is I got a chiropractic adjustment. My back went ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka, and every bit of tension I had just completely evaporated. I was holding it in all those back places and the muscles in my back could let go because the water holds you up. And my back just went, cool, let's fix this now.
Damn it, I want that so bad. And I know they're probably not operating right now. I know where some are. And I'm like, I've never gone and I should go right now. And I can't. But that's okay. I can do a version of it myself.
I wonder if you could find a way to get into one. So we can start to wrap things up, I think. But to answer your question, Cassidy, how I feel, thank you for asking.
I'd like to know how you are.
Very connected, grounded, bright. I feel like this bright light from my crown up all the way through me. It's such a gift to me to get to be in these spaces and to channel this stuff because it just takes me to a real great space. And so, plus, like, I think I cried about something. There was something sad and then grief and then, oh yeah, and then humility. And then after that, it's just, like I'm just the open channel for light right now. It's a perfect example of what they're always talking about of like just feelings of the doorway to now you get to feel bright and shiny and light.
Yeah, it does transform to love. Like that's the crazy, like, believe it or not, like literally believe it or not, it still does it. Like whether I quote believe in it, it does the thing on me and I feel different. I also want to note that they spoke of replay this section for yourself on a daily. So just want to remind people that that was said. And we might even be able to figure out a way to chop that part out and release it as a separate bonus section.
That's awesome.
We're getting a thumbs up from Desmond. So let's do that. We can find that section and release it as a micro meditation.
That is, I'm in love with that idea.
Yeah. It's a gift. It's a fucking gift. You're giving gifts. We're giving gifts. We're giving fucking gifts here, people. I hope you're happy. It's a gift for us. I don't, you know, I'm glad it's for you, but God damn, it's therapy in the grandest sense.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let me close the records of the collective of all people now.
No big deal. Hold on. Sorry. They're just hanging open. So let me
I guess I just have to get used to that because it's going to be more and more of that. But still, I'm like, I don't really want to drive this car in that state.
A lot of people in the car.
A lot of people in the car. So thank you, God. And thank you to the record keepers for the collective of humanity. That was fun. And I guess I'm just asking as we wrap up today, just, you know, whatever you can do to help us keep awareness of this, thank you and more, please. And we'd like it if we don't have to die off as a race in order to wake up to this. I know a lot of us would like that. If that's possible, we just humbly say, like, super sorry, fucked up a lot. If there's anything we can do, show us, make it clear. I know a lot of us are doing everything we can. Whatever else is required, please just make it so clear that our dumb asses can't miss it. And so we return the energy of everyone, all the collective, to themselves, to itself. I ask that we all be returned now to our complete human wholeness, each of us listening, each of us hearing this. The divine portal and the Akashic records for the collective are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for the collective are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the records for the collective are now closed. Amen. Amen. Okay. So it is.
So it is.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, my God. You know, not side benefit, but main benefit, maybe. You know, we're always talking about transforming things into love. And I just got the hit, like, as you were closing the records, like, I fucking love you guys. Like, it just makes it more ferocious. That's all. It activates the presence of that truth.
Me too. Thank God for podcasts, right?
Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what are the answers?
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.